It's quite the pile today.
All right, everyone. Welcome today to Commissioner's Court as we proceed here today. Do we have someone who would volunteer to do our opening invocation for us, our opening prayer? Chief, let's all stand together if you would, please. Also, if you would lead us in our pledges as well.
Gracious Father, we're so thankful for this wonderful day. Father, we ask you to be with these gentlemen today as they make their decisions for the public board, for the best for the public. We thank you for all our many blessings. Thank you for the safety provided in our journeys here. Be with us as we travel to our destinations. Father, we just ask forgiveness of our sins and guidance through this week.
Amen. Thank you. Our pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present today. Do we have a motion to approve the court agenda?
Move.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. County clerk, our citizens. Are there any citizens here who would like to make comment today on either the consent or the open agenda? For general comments on general topics, those are at the end. Yes, ma'am. You may come forward. Please, if you would, state your name for the record. Also, there's a three-minute time frame on this, if you would, please. And if you want to hand anything out for everybody's benefit, that you would let the court know and ask permission before you bring it to the
dais. Yes, sir. And I have quite a lot to hand out. Is it okay if I have somebody bring it up? Has my time already started? Go ahead and start. You don't want to see it?
Okay. Proceed.
Good morning. My name is Dawn Bednarz. I'm a resident in Precinct 2. I'm here to speak on Agenda Item J1, Consider and Accept Payroll Change Request Forms. If you'll give us a few minutes, we're going to tell you why we are vehemently opposed to this action. You have just been served an official notice of maladministration relating to this item. We will read it into the record for you. We, the people of Montgomery County, are serving you with due notice that you may provide due care. Please take notice that all public officials are trustees and servants of the people, and they are all times amenable to them. All governments started with the people and were founded and based on the people's will, never about the desires of government officials. The Constitution of the State of Texas, Article 1, Section 2, states, all political power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their benefit. They have at all times the inalienable right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such a manner as they may think expedient. Please take notice that the people who have all the political power also have the inherent right to assemble and go to their representatives to have their wrongs corrected. The Constitution of the United States, Amendment 1, states, Congress shall make no law respecting the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of a grievance. The Constitution of the State of Texas, Article 1, Section 27, states, the citizens shall have the right in a peaceable manner to assemble together for their common good and apply to those invested with powers of government for redress of grievance or other purposes by petition, address, or remonstrance. Please take notice that when you took and signed the official oath of office, you agreed to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of this state of Texas, including Texas Article 1, Section 2, U.S. Amendment 1, and Texas Article 1, Section 27. Maxim of the law states punishment is due if the words of an oath be false. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you very much. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes. Please come forward. State your name for the record.
Judge, was a copy of this given to the county clerk so it can be put in official records?
I'll give you mine.
Good morning. I'm Tina Orba, and I'm in Precinct 90, and I'm speaking on the item J1. Please take notice that our oath constitutes a contract with the people of Montgomery County, Texas. As bonded trustees and indentured servants, it is our duty to carry out the wishes of the people. When you violate your oath, you have committed a breach of trust and maladministration. Please take notice that your actions do not need to be unlawful for them to be considered a breach of trust or maladministration. Even if your actions are technically legal, when they are contrary to the wishes of the people, you are still in violation of your oath. No law can subvert the people's right to instruct and direct their trustees and servants. Neither can a law subvert the people's right to alter or reform their government at will and have their wrongs corrected. The Constitution of the State of Texas, Article 1, Section 29. To guard against transgressions of the high powers herein delegated, we declare that everything in this Bill of Rights is accepted out of the general powers of government and shall forever remain inviolate, and all the laws contrary thereto to be the following provisions shall be void. Please take notice that when you signed your oath of office, you agreed to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of this state, including Article 1, Section 29. Please take notice that Treasurer Melanie Bush had no opponent placed against her by the people in the primary election held in March 1st, 2022, or in the general election to be held in November 2022, securing her election. Please take notice that on the notice of regular session for March 8th, 2022, an item was placed on the open agenda and the executive session agenda regarding removing duties from the county treasurer's office. 14A, consider, discuss, and take action on all non-statutory or constitutional duties of the county treasurer, including personal responsibility for such duties, physical location of the treasurer's department, and the reassignment of said duties and personnel. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming forward. Is there anyone else? Yes. Please state your name for the record, please.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Cindy Phillips, and I'm a resident of Montgomery County in Precinct 2, and I am also speaking on item J1. Please take notice that during the County Commissioners Court, on March 8, 2022, many of the people of this county took time to be present and express their displeasure at the actions being taken by this court. The public comment section lasted over 48 minutes. Please take notice that only one person, a Montgomery County employee, showed up to speak in support of the action the court was taking. Please take notice that Brittany Vincent, another Montgomery County employee, put forth an excellent idea, offering to be part of a committee to brainstorm ideas to fix issues within payroll and other processes. One has to wonder why the commissioners did not try something like this before taking such a drastic action as to remove the duties of a duly elected official. Please take notice that an 18-year employee of the County Treasurer's Office, Jan Avery, stated that she had worked for three different county treasurers and found that Melanie Bush had integrity and was one of the most competent people she knew. Ms. Avery also stated that Ms. Bush was a hard worker that attacked problems with due diligence. Please take notice that multiple people stated that they work in finance, accounting, or information technology industries, and reassured the court that the issues attributed to Melanie Bush were in fact very common when implementing new software systems. They repeatedly stated that this was not an issue of incompetence and instead praised Ms. Bush for her ability to address the issues in a timely manner. Please take notice that John Wirtz addressed concerns that this was the beginning of a process to remove the county treasurer position altogether. Mr. Wirtz discussed the unique fiduciary duties that the county treasurer has to the people that a payroll department would not have. Also, to remove the position of county treasurer or reduce the duties is to remove accountability to the people. Mr. Wirtz cautioned the court, do not entertain it. Then he wondered out loud, why the rush? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sir, anyone else? Yes, state your name for the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Ferris. I'm from Precinct 25. I'm also speaking on item J1. Please take notice that Dennis Tibb opined in his statement that the court has a history of opposing the will of the people. He went on to list how the court had hired a lobbyist we didn't want, built a toll road we didn't want, took on new debt we didn't want, and voted for pay raises for yourselves that we didn't want. Mr. Tibbs warned the court that the will of the people was clear on this issue, and that the court should take the time to convince the people if this is the action the court felt it needed to take. Please take notice that when the board returned from executive session, Commissioner Nowak made a motion to remove the payroll duties of Melanie Bush and create a new payroll department under Phyllis Martin, despite the overwhelming protests of the people. Please take notice that Phyllis Martin is not an elected official and does not have a fiduciary responsibility to the people of Montgomery County that the county treasurer has. Ms. Martin does not share the same confidence of the people that our duly elected treasurer, Melanie Bush, shares. Please take notice that Commissioner Nowak also mentioned that there could be more changes made to Melanie Bush's budget and duties, but further changes would be addressed during future budget meetings. Any future actions would seem to confirm John Wirtz's concerns that the commissioner's underlying intent is to ultimately remove the county treasurer position or to render the position ineffective. Please take notice that Commissioner Metz seconded Commissioner Nowak's motion to remove the payroll duties of Melanie Bush in spite of the expressed will of the people. Please take notice that Judge Mark Keogh warned the commissioners that Ms. Bush had been reelected just 1 week prior by the people. Therefore, the people would have the understanding, if not intent, that Ms. Bush would continue all of her current duties and that by removing those duties, the court would be subverting the will of the people. You did it anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes. State your name for the record and topic. Item on the agenda.
Yes, my name is Jennifer Eckhart. I live in Commissioner Precinct 2, and I also speak on item J1. Please take notice that the actions taken by Robert Walker, Charlie Riley, James Nowak, and James Metz on March 8, 2022 are in violation of the expressed desire and will of the people of Montgomery County. These actions put you in conflict with both the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Texas. They are a violation of your oath of office. This violation constitutes a breach of trust between yourselves and the people of Montgomery County, and you have been determined to be in maladministration. Please provide due care and adjust your actions. Please take notice that the people are weary and unhappy with being ignored by our public servants, and such behavior will no longer be tolerated. Please take notice that after considering all of the testimony of the commissioners, the judge, the county employees, and the people, Melanie Bush maintains our confidence and support. We declare her to be competent and to continue in her duties unaltered. Therefore, by the power of the people and the power of the above enumerated constitutional protections, we demand, require, and order that the payroll duties of the of Montgomery County be returned immediately to County Treasurer Melanie Bush. Further, we demand, require, and order that any actions to form a new payroll department cease immediately. You created the new department in less than a week, and we expect it to be undone in less than a week. We demand, require, and order that if you disagree with the people's notice of maladministration and believe that you have the power to subvert the will of the people, then please provide the disclosure to the people where the constitutions of the United States and the State of Texas grant you that power or authority. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes. State your name for the record, please.
Good morning. I'm Paul Gregory. I reside in Precinct 2. It is the express will and desire of the people that the current checks and balances that the county treasurer position provides stay in place for the protection of the people's finances. Therefore, we demand, require, and order that no further attempts be made to diminish this vital elected position. We further demand, require, and order that further attempts to strip Melanie Bush of any duties, rights, budgets, or responsibilities cease immediately. Any duties, rights, budgets, or responsibilities Ms. Bush had on March 1st, 2022 will be the duties, rights, and budgets and responsibilities she has until the end of her term. Or unless the people should deem her incompetent in the performance of such duties. We demand, require, and order that a committee be formed by Brittany Vincent to include at least one member from each of the following departments: Treasury, Risk Management, Budget, HR, any other department Ms. Vincent deems necessary for the success of the committee. The purpose of this process across the necessary departments addresses issues caused by the implementation of the new software system and any other issues caused by cross-departmental responsibilities. We demand, require, and order that this court look for options that may assist and support Melanie Bush in her Treasury duties, such as hiring additional staff or hiring a full-time CPA within the Treasury Department. These options would certainly be less expensive than the entire new payroll department. Ms. Bush will be part of these discussions. It's the express will and desire of the people that you find the will to correct these wrongs and be welcomed back into full faith and trust of the people. We hold no ill will towards you and come today in peace and love. We may be aggrieved, but we are ready to forgive and forget when these wrongs are corrected. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. State your name for the record and the item.
Good morning, please. Judge. Commissioners, Kristen Plaisance, Precinct 4, speaking on item J1. This new department is costing a lot of unnecessary money. For every unnecessary dollar that you spend, you're taking away from the people who have entrusted you to serve us. You are either taking extra tax dollars or you're taking away money that could go to necessary services that the people have paid for. $17 million for this new software. Was there a less expensive solution? Did you even look? Why so much money? Instead of creating this new overpriced department, could you not have hired one new employee, perhaps one that had a lot of experience working with this new massive software? It might be easier to take your concerns for your employees seriously if you had posted an ad to look for a department head that had vast experience with this software or at least years of experience running payroll departments. But you did neither of those things. You need to be better stewards of the people's finances. This is not your money to spend just however you want to spend it. This is our hard-earned money, and we really would like to keep more of it, so please stop just throwing it around like you're kings of the Mardi Gras throwing out doubloons. Second, I read an article that claimed that there was a lot of equipment that was being transferred out of Precinct 4. The information came from anonymous sources, so I am hoping and trusting that is not true. But to the extent
that's not a topic that's on the agenda, that issue.
Okay, well, I'll hold it till the open session.
You have the opportunity at the end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I conclude?
Sure.
I still have time?
Yep.
I do want to say that I appreciate your service to the community. And I do weigh the good actions this court has taken and the good things y'all have done with the community with these items that we're speaking about today. I do not pass judgment on any of you, and I ask that you would please consider, adjust for the things that we have asked. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment? State your name for the record and the item, please.
I was going to ask point of privilege. Mine's not on the agenda, but I'm not feeling well and would like to leave. Would it be okay if I gave it now?
There needs to be an item that is on the specific agenda
here. Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment this morning on any item on the agenda, consent, or open? All right, then let's move forward. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes for March 8th, 2022?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. As we move to the consent agenda, there were a couple items that PDQs...
Yes. Yeah, Judge, I have an item for item J1, page 7. We do need to rescind two payroll change requests that are in that the backup for the county clerk. That's PCR number 61 and PCR number 132. So we need to completely defer those.
Okay. Is there anything else? We'll just make note of that and do that. All right.
I have one on page 4, E3. I need to defer that.
Want to defer it?
Page 4, E3, yeah.
All right. Is there any other modifications that we'd like to make to the consent agenda? All right. If there is none, then do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with modifications?
Move.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, let's move to our open agenda. Risk management.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. I do want to call your attention. There's a typo on my item. On your agenda, it says this is for the 2021-2022 policy period. That should read 2022-2023. Consider and approve annual renewal of the public entity insurance package for the 2022-2023 policy period. Authorize Director of Risk Management to bind coverage and execute required documentation to effectuate the same.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so Thank much. You. All right, purchasing. Gilbert?
Good morning. Good morning. Our item is to authorize cancellation of contract with Texas Fabricators for the rebuild of election carts, Project 22-01, previously awarded Commissioner's Court 11-16-21.
What
did you
happened
want to
with
add,
that?
Did you want to put in that go out to bid?
Yes, sir.
On that particular item?
Yes, sir. That was going to be our recommendation. If the court agrees to cancel, is to immediately issue another bid for the same project.
Okay. Amy, is it worded properly to allow for that?
So if you'll take this in two, if you can authorize the cancellation under 11A, and then under B, instead of approving a discretionary exemption, I think the more appropriate thing would be to authorize him to go out for bid rather than to award the discretionary exemption.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gilbert.
Sir.
I do want to bring up a couple of things on this item. I've been skeptical of the whole concept of rebuilding these carts from day one. And the fact that we are in a position now that because of really just malfeasance or mismanagement, the county is going to end up paying twice as much or even more for these carts. We awarded a contract last year, November, for $84,000 for these carts to be retrofitted. Then in January, you come back and you said that we need to add the maximum by law that we could add a 25% change order because the vendor and actually elections themselves decided that they were going to change the dimensions of the cart. And there still seems to be some question as to just how many carts actually exist. I went back and listened to the video last time. We don't know if it's 440, 840, 1900. We've heard all sorts of different numbers for the number of carts. This project had started in the end of last year, and it seemed like nobody was really paying attention to what was going on and how many of these carts were actually being retrofitted to the specifications that changed at least twice. Now, instead of $84,000, it went to $102,000, give or take, and then today's item was to move to the second or the third place vendor, which was going to be higher than the second place vendor and the first place vendor. And I honestly don't have any confidence in what's happening with this project. So if I think somebody from the court needs to be overseeing this process with Elections. I think Elections has proven that they're not managing this product on their own, and somebody needs to take responsibility for it that's in Conroe that can, or somebody that can visit and walk them through it.
Well, I questioned it from the beginning because of the amount of money. But, you know, I went along with what everybody recommended and what they thought was going to be a resolution to that problem.
Speaking in the microphone. Yeah.
And so I'd love to be a part of that. You know, it's just right there. And
so instead of making the, I mean, I'd love to cancel today and then maybe give Commissioner Walker the time to visit with Elections, put a plan together, and come back and find out, do we want to continue the process of reworking these old carts? Do we want to order the carts that came with the ones that are made for the machines that we just bought, give you time to analyze it?
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I mean, but there's just a lot of things in place there. But sure.
You could make a motion to allow Commissioner Walker to work with purchasing and Elections to move forward on a solution for the cart issue with regard to 11B.
That's my motion, and I move on that.
We don't have one on 11A yet.
But in order for us to pick up the carts to go get them, we believe there's a breach of contract there, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the result of which is I agree with y'all on moving forward with that.
So have we paid this vendor?
No.
It just cost us time at this point.
Yes, sir.
Well,
that's correct.
I'd like to look into the whole thing again and see what new ones as opposed to retrofitting and fixing and all of that.
Do you want to keep the current vendor on?
No.
I would think not.
Then we need to.
No.
I think when we I've motion to cancel the contract and then move forward with what you want to do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I move to cancel the contract on 11A.
All right. Is there a second?
Did not pay them anything.
No.
No, they've not been paid.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Gilbert, on the next item, we're just going to defer that.
Defer that item?
Defer that. And, Commissioner Nowak would like to make a motion that authorizes Commissioner Walker to oversee the rebuild of the carts, caddies, and to work with purchasing and Elections to take all necessary steps to move forward in the process of resolving the election cart issue.
Sorry, folks. I'll make that motion.
To include,
you
want to add to include bidding if we need to bid it,
and to include bidding at Commissioner Walker's and purchasing's recommendation.
And I'd like to come back to the court and present it all and see what the court decides at that point.
Okay,
good.
All right,
thank you.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Gilbert. All right. Our next item, consider, discuss, and take action on appointing Jeff Johnson. And you can see the group of people here, Bruce Berger, Evan Besong, Gene Mann, Jason Millsaps, Gilbert Halomo, Amanda Carter, and Rakesh Pandey, subject to the Board of Judges' approval. Rakesh? Any additional designees deemed appropriate to the newly formed committee, which will be responsible for providing a list of potential ARPA fund expenditures to the court for approval.
Why did you say subject to district? Okay, for committee only.
Yes. Just for Rakesh. Yeah. Request the county attorney as designated to serve as a non-voting legal member. Commissioner.
Yes, I would just like to remove Evan Besong and put Andy Dubois on that.
Okay.
And then with the additional verbiage that, or the court member's designee, just in case we need to send somebody else to the meeting.
I want to remove Bruce Berger altogether.
Okay. Is there anybody you'd like to replace him with?
Sorry, Bruce.
I don't want anybody on there.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
The same committee we had for...
Same committee that we had for the CARES Act, and it worked just fine. It was a good deal. So is there a motion to approve?
I'll move.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. James, tell us about the airport.
Good morning. I have some handouts for you, huh?
Thank you.
Make sure you give one to the county clerk, too.
I will.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, so a little background. In November, Congress passed the bipartisan infrastructure law, and there's a component of that to put $25 billion of investment into the NPIAS, the National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems. It's taken a few months for airports to get any kind of direction on how it's going to work, and we still don't even know 100%. But I wanted to give you a heads up of kind of what it is, how it's we think it's going to work, and some of the projects that we've identified for that. So there's three functions. There's air traffic, there's infrastructure, and there's terminal. They've all been funded differently. One of them, the infrastructure, is an appropriated funding based on the airport's classification. So we get an X amount of dollars. There's a spreadsheet in here. I've highlighted our airport's funding for year one. Year two will be different, and year three will probably be a little different, so on. But there's 5 years of funding. And that specific one, the infrastructure, is a 90-10. So the federal government's portion will be 90. Any projects we do, we will put in 10% match. So the air traffic facilities is a $1 billion year over 5 years, so it's a $5 billion total. That's a competitive grant. We have to apply for specific projects. If awarded, it's 100% funding. We don't match. It's 100% funding. So I've identified a few things to apply for that. Of course, I've already gone over the airport infrastructure. That's a $15 billion over 5 years to all airports. And then the next page is our list. We had to submit a list.
The $15 billion, that requires the match, correct?
The $15 billion does require the match, yes. And that, again, the $15 billion is nationwide. And they've divided each airport into categories. So it starts as a primary hub. That's Bush, DFW, LAX, those. Then you have non-primary hubs. That's your smaller commercial airports. Then you have non-primary. Then you go into general aviation. We're the top end of the general aviation. We're a national reliever. And so on and so forth, down to a basic GA. And so that's how they did the funding.
So what would our part of that be?
Estimating
on the $15
billion. So, that's, if you look on the very last page I gave you, I highlighted our airport. Year one funding for just the infrastructure portion, we're slated to get $295,000. And of that, we would have to put in our 10% on top of that. Again, that's going to change year two. They did a new snapshot of the airport systems in September, right before they did this. So there's a big change up. And so next year, I estimate that ours will be about $750,000, give or take, is what we'll receive. We don't know that yet. We'll hopefully know. They're going to do another snapshot each year, I believe, around September. And depending on number of operations, number of based aircraft, that kind of thing, that's how they do the funding mechanism. So it will change. But one of the things that our TxDOT planners, because we're a block grant state, so TxDOT Aviation actually is our go-to for these types of projects. And we'd have a similar program that you guys are familiar with, the TIP. We have the AIP. It basically is the same formula grant that we do, and we go through TxDOT. So this new funding source will be any project that's AIP eligible, as well as PFCs, which is passenger facility charges, doesn't pertain to us. So all AIP projects are eligible. So TxDOT had us in about 2 weeks. We had to submit our list last week. It's a planning list. It doesn't commit us to anything. They wanted a list of projects that the airport needs that are identified on master plans or planning studies, things like that. So I looked back at our master plan we did in 2017 and looked at some of the items that we hadn't completed yet, looked at some of the things that have come up since then, and came up with this short list that's obviously moldable and can change as we go. But so those are some of the projects that we're looking at hopefully getting funding with this money.
To just be clear, the projects that are on here are all on the facilities master plan for the airport?
All except for one, and that will be the vehicle access gate. That one was not on there. That's something I've identified over the last couple of years. Our gates are, some of them are 30 years old. The controllers are obsolete. Parts are hard to get. And so I added that one in. But everything else is identified in our master plan.
And the master plan had input from the
airport board.
Everybody
yes.
was part of this, and I know it was approved in court several times. There are people in the community, and really even on the court, I think that they're unsure of why Montgomery County is operating the airport. Are there benefits to the average citizen? Are there not? I certainly don't think that there's the votes on the court to shut down the airport. I'm not suggesting it should be shut down. But I do think that, you know, people are always hesitant on what are the real benefits to us and how close is the airport to actually breaking even. And I know it's pretty close.
It is. And actually, it's something that Commissioner Walker and I are recently looking at trying to get the information on. So one of the things, and I get that, I'm a conservative person, and I will say this, you know, it's been said that department heads are not financially responsible to the citizens. I take that personally. I am very responsible to the citizens. I mean, you guys hired me to do that, and so I do take that very serious. One of the things that I've looked at since I've gotten this airport, we allowed private development on pretty much 99% of the airport, all hangars. Commercial, or we call it residential, but it's storage, are all privately owned. They're paying taxes as well on those hangars. And one of the things we're looking to try to do is get a map, a study done, to see how much tax revenue those hangars are producing, plus what our revenues are that we produce from airport tenants, not the average citizens, and look at that number. That number is going to be break even and possibly providing more money into the general fund. That's the bigger number that we need to be looking at, not just here's what we get from the general fund, here's our revenues, they don't add up. You're right, they don't. But also, had it not been for the airport, none of those hangars would be on the tax roll providing that extra revenue. So that's something to look at, and like I said, we are working on trying to get something to show the court.
Well, my overall point was at the end that for $147,500 in potential matching dollars to bring in the other 90% in federal funds, and that's kind of a high side on the match. I mean, over a period of years, we're talking, you know, six years potentially. I think you've done a good job of going through and try to bring the upgraded, and some of these upgrades have to occur. There's you have no choice. If you have an airport, you have to do
one. Right.
And so I think you've tried to find a good solution to solving these problems, and I would move on your request.
Okay. And really, this isn't a request. I wanted to kind of give you an update. Yeah, and so what will happen is once TxDOT programs these and they work with the FAA and they get, programmed, what will happen then is they'll say, okay, year one funding, you're getting this much, and we're going to do this project. And at that time, I'll bring those projects through Rebecca's office. We'll do the grant application and go through that process, and then we'll actually get the grant. And that's when you guys would choose whether or not to fund the project. And the main reason why I wanted to bring this up was, number one, it's new to us, something we're learning right now. And also to give you a heads up that I don't like bringing things to you guys outside of a budget as far as an expense, and this is. And so I wanted you to know about it, that when these come up, especially year one, it will not have gone through the budget process. And so at that time, I would be asking for a funding source. So I wanted to give you a heads up on that.
Yeah, and I think when you put your budget together, my suggestion would be to have that year one cost just as a potential in there, or at least in the capital improvement plan. Where these
I've asked a court member for the presentation already.
Perfect. And if you could email us to
absolutely.
Evan Bison.
Yep, will do. All right.
So the in... I'm not sure who you're talking about in terms of not in favor of the airport, but I would say the development of Montgomery County and the movement of population in this direction and the development of business,
we haven't even really seen the real opportunity here that the airport really shows us. Think about this. We have a runway on this airport that is longer than the longest one at Hobby Airport.
It's roughly the same size.
Same size to the same. So we have the potential here for something really great.
Right.
If we stay the course and working with the city of Conroe and whatnot, it's a good thing.
Right. And there are a lot of economic benefits. Recently, the airport has really started to see those growth spurts, with the relocation of HP Hewlett-Packard moving into the area. They've moved their entire flight department here. They've put in about $500,000 into one of the hangars to build offices. They've got, I think, a staff of 10 in that hangar, plus an aircraft that is on the tax roll that's valued at $50 million. And so that provides additional revenue to the county as well as helping to grow that airport. And so they're providing jobs. We have, Huntsman. We have 39 base business jets on our airport that call Conroe home. We are the number 4 general aviation airport in the state of Texas. When I started in 2017, we were doing 58,000 operations. We did 800,000 gallons of fuel. Last year, we did 106,000 operations and almost 4 million gallons. It's huge.
Wow.
The airport has grown. We've seen that economic spur. Obviously, it's a process. And I will say, this airport, we get a lot of accolades around the state and around the nation. I get calls all the time. How are you doing this? How does this work? What do you do here? I'll tell you, when I retire from here, because I want to, I have a job in consulting. Because I've seen what a commissioner's court that supports a general aviation airport can do, and there's a lot of airports that want that. Because it does spur the economy in the region. So I'm a believer, and I think there's a lot of people that are, and I'm going to continue doing everything I can to save money where I can and provide value. So,
thank you very much. All right, James. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've done a great job.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, let's move forward. County Auditor Rakesh.
Judge, Commissioners, I'd like to present to you the FY 2021 Annual Comprehensive Financial Report for the county. We had our books audited by an external auditor, Patio Brown and Hill, and it was a clean audit, unqualified opinion, and I'd like to go through the slides. This year was the 33rd year that we actually received the GFOA Excellence Reporting Award. So basically, we sent our CAFR over to the Government Finance Association, and they review the report and make sure it meets certain parameters, all that stuff, and we have gotten the Excellence Award this year as well. It was a clean, unqualified opinion, and as far as the revenue sources and such, it's been pretty consistent compared to last year. Last year it was CARES heavy as far as grants, and for fiscal 2021, a little bit of ARPA money had come in as well to help us with the grants and all that stuff. Expenses, by different functions and categories, pretty consistent compared to last year as well. And as far as the fund statement in the general fund level, we brought in actual revenues about $250 million, and we spent about $242 million. And the sources and usage for about 38 negative to about 28 negative, but at the end of the day, looking at the fund balance numbers in itself, and as far as different classification, committed was about 14, and out of that 14, we had committed about $10 million into the TCDRS, which we committed back in August, September, but the actual transfer happened in December, so it actually sat in the fund balance as it committed. Assigned 85, which is 100% pertaining to the OPEB, the other post-employment benefits, their retired health care. I'll talk about that in one of the subsequent slides, but as far as unassigned, $54.9 million. The benchmark as far as the unassigned is we compared the unassigned to the actual general fund expenditure amount for the fiscal year, and according to our fund balance policy, we'd like to keep it close to 15, between 10 to 15, but close to 15, and I'm going to share the results with you as far as where we stand. Based on the $54.9 million in the unassigned and $242 million in the total general fund expenditure, the ratio we're at is about 23%, 22.69, which is pretty healthy. Now, as far as the county's legal debt percentage and the margin, you know, last year was about 4.63%, but this year is about 3.38. So basically what that percentage tells us is how much we can actually borrow versus where our total bonded debts are. So we're about 3%, 3.38% of the total maximum allowable debt we can actually borrow. OPEB, I mean, those are based on the future cost and future calculations. I know the court took an action two budget cycles ago to actually, you know, enforce starting 1-1 of 2021 to still allow retirees to be a part of the health care, but then the county wouldn't fund for them. And as a result, you know, we would see the future benefits in the next 20 to 25 year horizon. But since the costs were through the roof, our OPEB liability jumped from about $254 million to about $311 million. And that's the reason why we decided to keep the assigned fund balance still at $85 million. We reached out to our financial advisor the other day to ask, you know, as far as Moody's rating and all that stuff, as to how many counties in Texas are still AAA. And that there are nine, and Montgomery County is one of them. I just want to bring that to you guys' attention. That is the conclusion of my presentation. Is there any question from any of you?
So did we do okay for fiscal year 21?
Yes. We brought in slightly more than what we budgeted for as far as revenues, and we spent less than what we budgeted for. And not just that, the fund balance percentage is an indicator, and the ratio is very healthy.
So instead of 15%, fund balance is at 23% right now.
That is correct. 22.6, about 23.
Yeah. Commissioner?
I was just going to say, in 2016, we had $111 million in total fund balances. Today, we're sitting at $154 million. I think the notion that Montgomery County's going broke was a joke. I don't think that that's anything that should be taken seriously. And as a matter of fact,
it wasn't meant as one, Commissioner, but it is. Absolutely, we're in good shape.
Yeah,
absolutely. And those sort of comments really, you know, they could attract the attention of the very folks who we earn our bond rating from. And I didn't say that they give us a bond rating. I said we earn that bond rating by the diligence of the court and of the office holders and most of them and of the auditor's office and what they do. And so when people make disparaging comments about the county, they really need to think very carefully about, is this something that's actually true? Is the court or is the county really going bankrupt? Because that couldn't be further from the truth.
So thank you, Commissioner. So in the scheme of things here, we took in the general fund, we took in more than what we projected, and we spent less than what we had budgeted for a $14 million turn ahead of where we projected.
Yes, sir. And, you know, as far as the budget enforcement, obviously, we're not going to let any department spend more than what's budgeted for. You know, there are controls and there are mechanisms in place. And that's when if there's absolutely a necessity for someone to go above and beyond, that's when they bring it to the court, and the court approves identifying a funding source. So we're keeping an eye on things pretty closely here.
Is there any practices that you've noted as the auditor? And I want to make sure that it's clear that it doesn't matter if it's the auditor or the sheriff or anyone, that if you or anyone perceives that there is, you know, malfeasance or a spending issue or something, I think that the appropriate place to bring that would be to the court. You know, we'd like to hear directly from any elected official that has those feelings. I think that would be the most appropriate place to address them. And I want to make sure that people feel like they have that invitation. And so I know you know that, but I would like for you now to take the time to address, if you have some concerns, I hope you would address them with us.
No, I mean, we keep an eye on things. And as y'all go through the budget discussions and all those processes, and obviously that's when we advise you as far as, you know, what's kosher, what's going to happen if you take this action as far as the fund balance and the percentage and all that stuff. So you know, we will jump in when we feel like we need to. But again, things look pretty good.
Anything else, gentlemen? Rakesh, thank you. Do we have a motion to accept this report?
I move. Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Rakesh, great job. Amanda, thank you for your help in this whole process, and we appreciate y'all very much.
Thank you.
All right. At this time, we're going to recess Montgomery County's Commissioners Court to convene public hearings, starting with Precinct 1.
Consider the application of a partial replat for lots 81, 82, 83, 84, and 85 in Block 1, the island at Grand Harbor, to be known as the Island Grand Harbor Replat Number 1. The purpose of this proposed replat is to combine five single-family residential lots into one single-family residential lot. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's public hearing. We have received a no-objection letter from the HOA, but is anybody here to speak about that? The plat is submitted for Commissioner's Court approval under County Engineer Agenda Item 16B.
Okay, proceed.
Two. Consider the application for a partial replat of an unrestricted Reserve A Block 1 Westgate Crossing to be known as Egypt Lane Retail. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to subdivide the unrestricted Reserve A into smaller tract of land. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing, and HOA has not been found, and the plat is submitted for Commissioner's Court approval by County Engineer Agenda Item 16A. Is anybody here to speak about that? Then I'll keep going.
Okay.
Precinct 4. Consider the application of a partial replat of lots 1 and 2 of Hidden Acre, Section 2, partial replat number 1, to be known as replat of Hidden Acre, Section 2, partial replat number 2. The purpose of the proposed replat is to create three residential lots. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's hearing, and the HOA has not been found. This plat is not ready, but may be submitted by the county engineer for approval at a future date. But is anybody here to speak about it? Okay. Consider the application for a partial replat of lots 1 through 4, Acorn Hill Estate Subdivision, to be known as Vols Addition Partial Replat. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to combine four lots and an additional land into four new tracts. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing, and the HOA has not been found. The plat is not ready, but may be submitted by county engineer for approval at a future date. Is anybody here to speak about that? And finally, consider the application for a partial replat of Lot 6, Reserve D, Block 4 of the Highland, Section 1, to be known as the Highland Section 1 Partial Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to relocate the common line of Lot 6 and Reserve D, Block 4, the Highland Section 1. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The HOA has not been found, and this plat is submitted for Commissioner's Court approval under County Engineer Agenda Item 16C. Is anybody here to speak? And that is the end of our public hearings.
All right. At this time, we're going to reconvene court and take the appropriate action. Do we have a motion to consider and approve the final plat of Egypt Lane Retail?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Item B, consider and approve the final plat of the island at Grand Harbor, replat number 1. We have a motion to approve.
Move.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Gentlemen, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Item C, consider and approve the final plat of the Highlands Section 1 Partial Replat Number 1. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Judge, before we
yes.
recess, can I just, something else I wanted to point out just about the actions of the court and the financial stability of the county and just kind of just a bigger economic picture. And since 2013, this court has passed a 20% homestead exemption. We have saved over $14 million by better managing our debt and doing a defeasance program that was really one of the state, one right. of the first in the state. Reduced the budget 5%. And since from 2013 to 2021, we've lowered our tax rate 15%. And the appraised values of the average home in Montgomery County increased at 18%. And I don't have the numbers with me of population, but we all know that Montgomery County is growing. Faster than most any
county surrounding us.
Still met our obligations and providing the services.
We've added hundreds of, and we've added tons of law enforcement officers. We've started new programs for mental health. We bought air-conditioned kennels for the animal control vehicle.
Animal shelter.
We've expanded, you know, our services, I think, where appropriate and contracted, where I think we can and should. And, you know, my commitment's to continue to doing that.
And
I think that as a court, we've adopted the no new revenue rate year after year. And, you know, I think we have a commitment, and I think we have, you know, some great leadership with many of our elected officials that understand that Montgomery County does do a good job, and we do provide the services that people are looking for at a cost, and that is really hard to beat. And so I think we need to continue to implement cost-saving measures where we can. We need to be as diligent as we have in the past, and I have no reason to think we wouldn't be.
I think that everybody would be in agreement with you here on the court, and we are uniquely postured to do some great things in the future. It's very exciting as we continue to grow. Thank you, Commissioner Nowak, for those comments. And let's move forward now. We are going to, at this time, the court is going to recess for executive session. Pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you all, and we shall return. We're going to continue to move forward in our agenda.
Judge,
we come
is there
out,
somebody,
we have a motion. I'm sorry?
Is there somebody that would be willing on the court to make a motion to approve a resolution in order to prosecute claim number 800.4602?
Yes, do we have a motion to that effect?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Yes.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Nowak and Commissioner Riley had to leave, but we have a quorum.
Right, and Commissioner Mutz has to leave, I understand. Thank you, Commissioner
yes.
Mutz, for staying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate it so much.
Yes,
so we're coming down to the end here. If we would, before we adjourn, we want citizen comments. Are there any citizens who would like to make comment? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for waiting and for coming back.
I had to go get something to eat and some water, okay. And I'm feeling better. And anyway, hi, I'm Ginger Russell, Precinct Chairman 74, and I was going to Commissioner Riley, I'm sure he'll get it soon. Is it on now?
Yes.
Is it on now? Okay.
A little closer to you, if you would.
So anyway, I'm going to pretend he's sitting there. Good morning, Commissioner Riley. It's no secret we agree on very little, but being a former Magnolia ISD school board member, I would hope we would find some common ground when it comes to the education of the next generation. As you're probably aware, Magnolia ISD is the only district in the county that has implemented the United Nations International Baccalaureate Program. Due to the fact that the superintendent of Magnolia ISD, Todd Stevens, plays in the Charlie Riley Band along with two other administrators, I would hope you would have some influence in educating them in regard to the Marxist UN program that we, the taxpayers, are on the book for at $11,500 per school yearly, plus thousands of additional cost. Trust me when I tell you that the UN program does not value American exceptionalism or sovereignty, and in fact works at every turn to dismantle our capitalistic system. As it is social engineering students through programs like IB with ideals that are built around redistribution of wealth, critical race theory, social justice, and equity, which is communism. A book that was a required reading in a Magnolia ISD IB class last year called The Fire Next Time is on the Barnes & Noble's critical race theory list. A couple of quotes from the book are, and these are quotes from the book, so they're not my words. Furthermore, the white man knows his history, knows himself to be the devil, end quote. Quote, you can only be destroyed by believing that you really are what the white world calls a nigger. End quote. The Montgomery County Republican Party has passed a resolution against IB. The Senate Republican Executive Committee has passed a resolution against IB. Numerous Senate districts across the state this past weekend passed resolutions against IB. To date, the only battle and uproar in defending the UN program has been by those closely aligned with you, Commissioner Riley. Sadly, the Montgomery County Republican Chairman, Brian Crist, and his wife, Kristen, your campaign manager, have aggressively defended this UN program despite the fact they homeschool their own kids. I wonder why. A few others aligned with you at the SD7 convention in Magnolia this weekend defended it. One was an 18-year-old Magnolia High School kid that stood up and stated, "I can be an American citizen, but I'm also a citizen of the world." Is this really what our high schools are teaching our students today? What national sovereignty gives us rights and privileges as a global world citizen? Now, make no mistake, the UN would like to. Riley, I know we have our differences. I can't believe you would defend this United Nations program within our tax-funded Magnolia schools. Dietrich Bonhoeffer stated, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act." I hope you'll speak up against this Marxist indoctrination. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that, Mr. Russell? Are there any other comments that anyone? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Brittany Vinson. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, what you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the ear in private rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Luke 12, 2 and 3. March 8th, I spoke to Commissioner Clark regarding working as a team and how the county felt like a game of Survivor. I also spoke on how I would be interested in being on a committee to revamp procedures for the payroll process. March 10th, I was informed the new payroll department inquired if any of the treasurer payroll employees wanted to work in the new department, and I immediately expressed interest to the county treasurer, Evan B. Sung, and Phyllis Martin. After the conversation was complete, Phyllis informed me she did not know how many positions there would be, and she was waiting on HR to complete the PDQs. March 17th, I learned my laptop, the one and only laptop, was forcibly removed without the permission of elected official Melanie Bush. I pondered the question of why? Why mine? Was it because I spoke out on March 8th? I later learned it was because they thought I had additional payroll files, and come to find out, they found nothing. In all of my 16 years of working in Montgomery County, I have never felt so violated, uncomfortable, and unsafe. The question I ask, what will happen to me next? Still playing that game of Survivor. Commissioners and court body, would you be comfortable with someone walking into your department or house without permission, taking your computer and copying files while you were away just because it was believed that files were missing? Before coming to the treasurer's office, I was admin manager for 7.5 years, working in the payroll process as well as with different department heads and elected officials, and not once have any negative items been added to my personnel file. Out of the 5 employees in the new form department, one has barely 6 months of payroll experience, making $50,000, coming from the treasurer's office, of whom I assisted in training. One was newly hired the later part of February this year, making $60,000, no payroll experience. One came from accounts payable, being named the payroll manager, making $85,000 with no payroll experience. One was strictly payroll admin, who often needed assistance with entering employee time, making $65,000, and then the final salary of $131,000, which is just as much as some elected officials. But here I am, a 16-year employee, used quite often for my knowledge of court and IT-related things, 10 years of payroll experience and software and implementation experience with a bachelor's degree, but it's not enough. Taxpayers, I can guarantee you the county could have saved a lot of money this week by having the input expertise in helping the payroll department instead of bringing the consultants from Infor, but I was never asked. This week, we are paying for unnecessary training, flights, hotel rooms, and per diems. And I leave you with this. What experience or who do you need to know to be in the new form payroll department? Montgomery County, you have to do better at ensuring all employees are compensated and treated fairly. Be somebody who makes everyone feel like somebody.
Thank you. If you would hold your applause, please, until we're complete, if you would, please. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, ma'am. State your name for the record. Please.
Cindy Phillips from Montgomery County, and I just wanted to address the comments that Commissioner Nowak made, even though he's no longer here. I wanted to address the comments that he made right before going to the executive session, and I know I speak for many that we do appreciate everything that the Commissioner Court does to save us money. We always appreciate that as tax dollar, as taxpayers, and you guys are taxpayers as well, and we appreciate all the savings that you guys find us. But that savings over the past however many years doesn't account for anything that is costing us. So I guess I'm saying 10 steps forward and one step backward is still not a good direction to go. All we're asking is that you continue that good track record. And as was just stated in many of the comments that we've all made, is we're seeing a lot of our tax dollars about to be poured out, and we see it in some... We don't feel in a just way. So we just are asking that you would consider and know that we appreciate everything that you're doing in the past, but we're just asking that you would continue the good work that you've been doing and take into consideration the things that we've said today. Thank you very much.
Ms. Phillips, thank you very much. Are there any other comments that anyone would like to make? If there are none, go ahead.
Kristen Plaisance. I just want to say that we came in here today to speak to the commissioners. We are the people of this county, and I'm finding blatant disrespect for the people from this court. Commissioner Nowak and this young lady over here were texting back and forth. It was clear as we were speaking and giggling as we were trying to speak. It was rude. It was inappropriate. And after hearing the comments of Ms. Vincent, what is this court doing? You create an entire new payroll system that's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money, and you staff it with people with little experience. It just makes no sense. And I find it offensive that James Metz left. He knew I was coming back to speak on something that pertains to him, and it seems like everybody just wanted to leave the building because nobody wants to hear what the people have to say. It's a complete lack of respect for the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? If there is none, we have a motion to adjourn. We can, according to Robert's Rules of Order, do it with two.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much for being here. Have a great day.